can be seated. It's our happy privilege to be back tonight. Feel the wonderful love and presence of Jesus. We're hoarse tonight. We got our throat cleared up a little bit, and then we got excited last night. The Spirit of God got to moving, and the people got excited, and we got excited. We had a real wonderful time, and so I'm hoarse again. But I thank the Lord for the opportunity to come here, talk about Jesus, enjoy the wonderful presence of God, enjoy the fellowship of His people. It is so wonderful to be here and enjoy the wonderful things of God. It is so wonderful to see the enthusiasm that we had last night. Here in the services, the altars filled up, and His people stood for a long time just praising and loving Jesus. People was healed last night. God was doing something wonderful. Now, we still haven't got the platform and the different things finished up. In the last meeting we had over in Jeffersonville, Indiana last year, the platform that was used there after we closed out for the year was used for another purpose, and they had to redo the platform, and it's taken a little time, but they've about got it finished. So probably within tomorrow or the next day or so, it'd be all finished up. But we appreciate you people bearing with us and working with us, and that we was a little bit late getting started. God is doing some wonderful things, and I'm glad that I'm a Christian. I am glad that I am a Christian. You know, a lot of people, they're not glad that they are a Christian, but I'm a happy Christian. I don't believe there's any other kind, but I say I'm a happy Christian because people talk about different kinds of Christians. And since they speak of different kinds, then I'm one of them happy kind. I really, down in my heart, I really don't believe that there is any other kind except a happy Christian. A person that doesn't have any real joy and jubilance just don't have salvation. That's all there is to it. Though you might have grief and you might have sorrow, you might have heartaches and you might have woe, you might have all kind of problems. But brother and sister, if you've got God on the inside, no matter what kind of problems you got on the outside, you still got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if you don't have that joy unspeakable and full of glory, you need to come to the altar, or you need to get alone with God somewhere and get that wonderful experience with God, because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory when you serve the Son of God. Now, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the 12th chapter of the book of John, and let's read a little bit together. Jesus says in the 12th chapter, in the 23rd verse, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things Jesus spake and departed and did hide himself from them. The 44th verse, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now, I want you to especially notice, Jesus said in the 35th verse, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth." Right? The light is with us. We're told here that the light is with us for a little while. Yet a little while, the light is with us. And he tells us that we should walk in the light while we have the light. You know, the Bible tells us that gross darkness shall cover the people. Gross darkness shall cover the people. And then at the end time, the Bible tells us that there shall be light. For there shall be light in the evening time. And we're told by God that in the evening time, there is something that is going to take place that is going to bring a great light. Though the people are walking in darkness, and though they're in darkness at this very moment, yet at the evening time, there's going to be a light. I believe that one of the things that God was referring to is that at the midnight cry, there is a voice that will ring out throughout the land. At that time, there is a voice, and it shall ring out through the land. And when this voice rings out, the virgins throughout the land that hath all in their vessels shall all of a sudden rise up, and they shall light their lamps. And I believe that this is going to be the evening time light that will break forth in the midst of the darkness. Now, you know, one thing that we don't like to admit as people, and that is that at that midnight cry, all of the virgins was asleep. You know, we as religious people, we don't like to take the outlook that we are asleep. And when the minister preaches that at the midnight cry, all of the virgins was asleep, sometimes we want to kind of fight back in our spirits, and we want to have the feeling, all but me. But nevertheless, the word of God cannot be broken. And the Bible said at that midnight cry, they all was asleep. The Baptist was asleep. The Methodist was asleep. The Presbyterians was asleep. The Catholics was asleep. The Church of God was asleep. The UPC was asleep. All of the non-denominational people was asleep. The church, all of the churches of the world, every one of them was asleep at the midnight hour, at the midnight cry. You say, "Brother Pike, then if everybody was asleep, then who gave the midnight cry?" Who was it that gave the midnight cry if all of them was asleep? Now, I didn't say everybody was asleep. I said all of the virgins was asleep. But the Bible says that God has set watchmen upon your wall that shall never hold their peace. In the Old Testament, there was watchmen that was set upon the wall, and their job was to cry. If anybody came near those walls, they were to cry out. They were to cry. If anybody came near the walls, they were to cry out to arouse the people, to let them know that the enemy was near the wall. And today God still has watchmen on the wall. Those watchmen are not asleep. They are watching day and night. They do not sleep. God has them there for one purpose, that at that midnight hour they may give that midnight cry. But so far as the church world is concerned, the Bible said they all was asleep at the midnight hour. Did you know that today you cannot tell the church from the world? You can't tell the church from the world today. There was a time in life when you could distinguish between the church and between the world. There was a difference between God's people and the people of the world. All you had to do was just look at them and you could tell the difference. But brother and sister, today you can't tell the difference between the church and between the world. The church dresses like the world. The church acts like the world. The church goes to the places that the world goes to, and they all act just alike. Why? Because they're all asleep. Men sleep in the darkness. Jesus says here in the Word of God, He said, walk while you have the light. While there is light, He said, walk. He told them here, He said, you disciples, keep on walking in the light. Keep on walking in the light. While you've got light, walk in that light, He said. For the time shall come when the light shall be taken away. And everybody will go into darkness. Everything will go into darkness. And so then at that midnight cry, the Bible said all of the virgins was asleep. All of them slept, and then at midnight there came a cry. All of them was asleep. Men sleep in the darkness. Did you know the Bible teaches that the carnal mind is darkness, and to be carnally minded is death? When you're absent of the mind of Christ, did you know that you are in darkness? And when you are in darkness, did you know that you are drunken off of the cares of this life? And that when you are drunken off of the cares of this life, that you are hard and fast asleep? Now the Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. All of a sudden there came a cry at the midnight. All of them were hard and fast asleep. You know, God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. What God is trying to do tonight is to get us away from that carnal reasoning. You know, to be carnally minded is death. You know why being carnally minded is death? Because being carnally minded is worldly minded. Are you listening? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what is the carnal mind? That horrible thing. I don't want any part of it. Being carnally minded is worldly minded. That's what the carnal mind is being worldly minded. You say, are you talking about automobiles? I'm talking about automobiles. Are you talking about homes? I'm talking about homes. Are you talking about land? I'm talking about land. Are you talking about money? I'm talking about money. I'm talking about being carnally minded, being worldly minded. If you are worldly minded, you are carnally minded. If you are carnally minded, then my brother and sister, you are walking in death and you will perish because you are asleep. And you are not awake in the things of God. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't think on automobiles and go to heaven? I mean to tell you, you can't think on automobiles and go to heaven. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me I can't think on land and houses and go to heaven? I mean to tell you, you can't think on land and houses and go to heaven. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can't think concerning the things out here in the world and go to heaven? I mean to tell you that you can't think concerning the things of the world and go to heaven. You mean to tell me, preacher, that I can't have an automobile? I didn't say you couldn't have an automobile. You mean to tell me that I can't have a home? I didn't say you couldn't have a home. The Bible didn't say anybody would go to hell for having an automobile. The Bible doesn't teach that anybody will go to hell because they have a home. The Bible doesn't say that anybody will go to hell because they've got a piece of ground. It doesn't say that they'll go to hell because they work and make a living and to have to handle the things of the world to do it. But brother, the Bible teaches that if any man gets worldly minded, that man will die and go to hell. You can have all the carnal things that you want. And Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual, shall I not be partakers of your carnal? Shall I not reap of your carnal things? You can have all that you want. As a matter of fact, if you'll seek the kingdom of God, the Bible said all of these things will be added unto you. But brother, the day that you get your mind on those things, you are on your way to hell. The very day that you get worldly minded, carnally minded, the very day that you get automobile minded, the day that you get your mind on the things, the materialistic values of this world, you are on your way to the lake of fire. For to be carnally minded is death. You can have the things of this world and God has given them to you. And God wants you to use them. And the Bible said the things of a wise man is precious in his sight. If God gives you houses and lands and cars and whatever, God expects you to take care of them. He expects you to be a wise steward over them. He expects you to honor God with them. But brother, he doesn't expect you to love them. He doesn't expect you to put your affection on them. He doesn't expect you to get your mind on them. Having things in the world today is not what's wrong. That's not what's wrong with the church. Having things, that's not what's wrong with the church. God gave them those kind of things. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it's no sorrow. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Isn't that what God said? He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. God said that. Brother, having good things is not a sin. Having blessings is not a sin. He said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That's not a sin. But I'll tell you, it's a sin when you get your mind on it. For the Bible said, meditate in the things of God day and night. Bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Casting down every thought, every imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that right? So then, God is a jealous God. He is the God of the Spirit. How often should I think of God? The Bible said, meditate in his laws day and night. He that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. For all of the paths of God are peace. My dear beloved brother, you cannot get acquainted with God and not keep your mind stayed on Jesus Christ. There is no way that you can discover this pearl of great price, but what you won't sell all that you've got to purchase this field. When you hear a person talking about being religious and they've got their mind on the world and the things of the world, you know that they're lying. Because when you find this thing that I found, you'll sell all that you've got. You'll turn away from everything you ever wanted to be. You'll lose all of your ambitions. You'll forget about a career in this world. You'll forget about all the things that you ever wanted to be. And you'll get your mind on God, and day and night you'll follow after him just like a little lamb. You ever heard that little story about Mary had a little lamb, and the lamb went wherever Mary went? That little lamb was Jesus. And glory to God, the same way that Mary loved it, I love it tonight. Hallelujah. I go with it wherever it goes. And the Bible said they follow the lamb whithersoever he goeth. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Now then, Jesus said, while there's light, walk in the light. Did you know that you cannot see light? How many of us understand tonight that we cannot see light? Scientists say that you cannot see light. And that is true. You cannot see light because God is light. And in him there is no darkness. Therefore, if you cannot see light, then how does it come about that we should know light? We must comprehend light. Because we cannot see light. Even with our natural eyes, we cannot see light. The only way that we can do this thing is by means of contrast. If there is darkness, if there are shadows, then by that the light is revealed. And so we come to know that there is light. But so far as seeing light, you cannot see light. You know, as we said the other night, you cannot see God, for God is light. We as scientists say have 22 conductive nerves from the eye of the brain. We cannot see God on these little old eye nerves. People are trying to see angels, and people are trying to see God with these little old puny eyes of theirs. Why, there's no way you could ever see God like that. There's no way for you to see angels like that. Brother, you can't see God like that. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that when God the great light comes, that all of the earth fled away before him. The mountains fled away. The heavens fled away. The ocean fled away. There was nothing that could stand in the presence of God, the great light. So then, we cannot see God, the great light, as the human being. We cannot look upon God as a human being because God is light and in him there is no darkness. But I'll tell you one thing. If we can get in the mind of Jesus, if we can be born to the Holy Spirit, if we can pass from this stage of life into the God life, if we can become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then my brother, we can receive the mind of Jesus Christ. And if we receive the mind of Jesus Christ, we can comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length. And then by the eyes of understanding, we can see God. The Bible said no man can see God and live. Isn't that right? The only way to see God is to die. And the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. Is that right? Have you ever been baptized into Christ? If you've ever been baptized into Christ, then you put on Christ, beloved friend. If you've never been baptized into Christ, then you've never put on Christ. But as many as been baptized into Jesus Christ's death, they have been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. So then as many as been baptized into him, they have put on Christ Jesus. This is why the Bible tells us to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust and the desire thereof, but walk in the light. Walk in the light. What a wonderful thought. The Bible tells us that we are dead to sin. How then can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Can I, if I be dead to sin, can I walk in sin any longer? If I be dead to the things of the world, can I then be interested in the things of the world any longer? If I am dead to the world, for the writer said, I am dead to the world by the body of Jesus, and the world is crucified to me by the body of Jesus. If the world's been crucified to me and I've been crucified to the world, how then can I be interested in the world? We talk about the entertainments of the world. We talk about the things of the world. Brother, this modern day religion won't work. This modern day religion won't take you into heaven. This modern day religion might get you some kind of club. It might get you into some kind of denomination. It might get you into some place to where you feel better, but it'll never take you into heaven. It's going to take old time Holy Ghost living. It's going to take being born again of the great Spirit of God to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, unless a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now then, if I've been baptized into Christ, then I put on Christ. I'm no longer that which I was. For it is not I that liveth, but it is Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I one time had, I lost it because of sin. But tonight I have another life. That life I've got from Jesus Christ. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, because he gave me his life, in that I lost mine through the fall of Adam. And I'm glad tonight I'm a new creature. I am a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, the Bible says in one place, Some people got in without the wedding garment. And when they got in without the wedding garment, they were bound hand and feet. The Bible said, I counsel of you to buy of me or to purchase from me that raiment that's been tried in the fire. Did you know there's only one raiment that was ever tried in the fire? That was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that went down into the flames of hell. And the Bible said God suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. And the only garment that's ever passed through the fire is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight you must put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the wedding garment. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment that's been tried in the fire. That raiment's been tried in the fire. As many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, separate yourself from the things of the world. Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things and I will receive you, saith the Lord. You say, but Brother Pike, if I do that, I can't have the things of the world. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Did you know, according to Revelation 11:15, that the saints of God's going to take the kingdoms of this world? You know, a lot of times we like to think that we're taking the kingdom of God. I said last night, we've already got the kingdom of God. Did you know that? I've already got the kingdom of God. I don't have to take the kingdom of God. I've already got the kingdom of God. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within me. When that last trumpet made it sound over there in the book of Revelation, brother, it didn't sound so that we could take the kingdom of God. We already have the kingdom of God. But the Bible said a voice cried out, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Did you know this world belongs to God? The way the wicked play around, the way they get by with their evil, the way they do in this world. You know, they get the feeling that God's all together like they are. And they get that feeling that God's going to save them in spite of themselves, as a man told me one time. They do wretchedly, they do wickedly, they do evil. They have their own ministers. They hatch them out of seminary. Isn't that right? They have itchy ears. They want somebody to tickle their ears. They said prophesy unto us smooth things. Isn't that right? They want to hear smooth things. But brother, what we need is neology, not theology. We don't need a bunch of theory. You know, when you got the Bible, you got facts. Isn't that right? Why should you mess with theory when you got facts? It's all right for the world to mess with theory because they don't know anything about facts. They need a theologian. But what we need is the Word of God. We need something that's been proven right down through the years. Glory to God, this thing has been proven all down through the years. Line upon line and precept upon precept. And did you know tonight that we should make everything that we hear, whether it comes from Brother Pike or whether it comes from any other preacher, we should make everything that we hear fit this book. And brother, if there's one little thing that don't fit that book, we should reject it. We should throw it out and we should not receive it. Because everything that God does, everything that God says fits that book. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Hallelujah. I believe in new things, don't you? God said, I'll do a new thing. The Bible said his mercies are new every day. But did you know every new thing that God ever done or ever will do fits the foundation of this book? Hallelujah. So then I believe in this book. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And I don't believe there's any faith outside of the Word of God. So then what we need to do is leave off with theology, and we need to get back down on our knees, and we need to begin to pray to God. You know, the devil has, as the world uses the terms, turned the people off to God. Did you know that? The devil has turned the people off to God, and he has turned them on to ball games. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know, all you got to do is preach on the ball games a little bit, and you lose about a third of your congregation. Of course, that helps make way for some more saints. Are you listening? I said the devil has turned the world on to the ball games, to all of the frolics of the world. And he makes that thing look exciting. And hundreds of thousands of people run over there to see somebody waller in the mud like a bunch of pigs. Break each other's collarbones. What is it? It's a bunch of beasts. You say, I don't believe they're beasts. Well, why do they call them blue devils and red devils? Why do they call them the bears and the cubs and the lions and the tigers? You don't hear them call them saints of God, do you? Back up home, they call them the dogs. They say, watch them dogs. But I'll tell you what, if you go over and call one of them a dog, he'll punch you in the nose. But did you know it fits the description just right? Because the Bible said the dogs return to their vomit, and the sow, after she's been washed, to a wallowing in the mire. I tell you what, brother, we need to get turned on, as the world says, to God. We need to see the exciting thing is preaching the gospel and publishing the gospel. Why, the most exciting thing in the world is to go to church. Years ago, people come to the house of God. They shouted and praised God. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They had health and happiness. I mean, they had a good time. And they didn't have to watch some foolish people wallow around in the mud either, just to get stimulated. Isn't that terrible? A man can't get stimulated unless he goes out and watches somebody wallow around on the ground. They're becoming a bunch of beasts. They go over to the car races and they scream until somebody breaks somebody's neck. I didn't get some of you with the ball game, so we'll go down to the wrestling match. And then when they get down to the wrestling match, somebody says, beat his brains out, break his neck. And they have got so beside themselves that some of them has jumped into the ring and almost got their neck broke. That's right. What is it? I'll tell you, the exciting thing is serving God. Brother, let me tell you, there ain't nothing exciting about sitting down there somewhere watching men tumble and roll over like two teddy bears, half naked. There ain't nothing excited about that. There ain't nothing exciting about two men running head on at each other, breaking each other's collarbone. There's nothing exciting about that. But I'll tell you what, it's exciting when you think about living forever. It's exciting when you think about becoming a God. It's exciting when you think about having eternal riches, having eternal youth, having eternal health. It's exciting when you think that you're going to rule over this world and have complete control of this world, and everything in this world and in heaven's going to belong to you. That's exciting. Praise God, that's exciting. You know what's wrong? That's the children. Leave them alone and let them play. Let them alone and let them play. That's the children. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like one. He said, but when I become a man, I got a little reasoning. And I quit acting like one. You love Jesus? While there's people that you can go to visit with, and if they've got the television on, if the World Series is on, why, they could care less, as the world said, if you was there. As a matter of fact, they wish you'd leave if you've got anything to talk about outside of the World Series. There's people that call themselves Christian that can tell you more about the ball game than they can the Son of God. You say, Brother Pike, that's not true. I know it's true because I've talked to some of them. They know more about them. And you know, the sly, cunning thing is, they perceive that you're spiritual, and they try to work it around to show you how spiritual they are about telling you about the ball game, and they want to show you something in the ball game. And all they do is wind up showing you their ignorance concerning the ball game. You know, folks, we might as well to confess up, isn't that right? We're either in darkness or we in light. Jesus said to walk in the light. While you've got the light, to walk in the light. If you love the light, walk in the light, my brother, sister. If you believe in the light of God, then walk in the light. Did you know the Bible said this is the condemnation that is coming to the world? That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's the condemnation. That's what God's going to judge them for. God said, I'm going to judge you for one thing. And that is because understanding of godliness has come in the world and you love the other thing better than you love that understanding. He said, this is the thing that's going to send you to hell. Because there's light in the world. There's understanding in the world. The word of God is in the world. God's telling you not to do those things. God's telling you to leave off with the world. And he said, this is the thing that's going to bring the judgment of God upon you. That light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Praise God. Jesus said, the commandments of God is eternal life. Isn't that right? Brother and sister, what do we want? I want eternal life, don't you? I want eternal life. Glory to God, I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to be happy. I want to live forever. Don't you want to live forever? A doctor told a man one time, they took his leg, one of his legs off and told him, said, if you don't quit smoking, we're going to have to take the other one off. He said, just take it off. Let me keep on smoking. Are you listening? That's the way the world is. You say, brother, you're fixing to die and go into the lake of fire. Somebody would say, just let me keep on going with them dogs. Just let me keep on going with them dogs. That's the craziest, silliest nonsense I have ever heard in my life. Everywhere you look, they say, them dogs, them dogs. What about them dogs? And they curse a little bit and say, them dogs. What a bunch of foolishness. What a bunch of foolishness. And you know what? I can understand the world going after it. Because the world doesn't understand. I can understand the world going to those games. I can understand the world going after the frolics. I can understand the world going after the materialistic values. Because it's the land of Esau, and that is Esau. And that's all they have. That's all they know. But brother, I can't understand a person that's supposed to be a son of God and a daughter of God that's going after the corrupt things of this world. And God doesn't understand it either. Let's make the tree good or bad. All of these years, he said, I come looking for fruit on it. And all I ever found is these things that we made mention of tonight. That's all you ever talk about. That's all you ever think about. What should I do, Brother Pike? You should meditate in the laws of God day and night. Can't you just picture yourself down at some football game meditating in the laws of God and you say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What does this mean in the scripture? There goes them dogs. I might say, Brother Pike, you're foolish. Paul said, bear with me a little in my folly and I can get my thought over to you to show you how foolish people are that do those things. Can't you just imagine Peter, James, and John sitting on the bench and saying, there goes them tigers. There goes them tigers. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening, folks? Say, Brother Pike, you sound like you're mocking. You've got good discernment. You discovered my secret. The Bible said Elijah mocked them things. God's not mocked, but them things are mocked. Did you know that? Can you picture Jesus Christ sitting on a bench somewhere hollering, help my favorite team to win, help my favorite team to win? I said the other night when God showed me that vision and I saw these people praying for their ball games, God showed me in the vision it was an abomination in the sight of God. How in the world can a Christian person sit out there and take the lovely name of Jesus to pray for a bunch of pigs and dogs? You love Jesus? Folks, it's no wonder Jesus got upset and popped the whip and turned the money tables over. Preachers are standing in the pulpit singing, talking about what a lovely, sweet Jesus and sweet God this is. And that you don't have to worry about nothing. You just give your offering and everything will be all right. But folks, I'm going to tell you, you can give your offering all you want to Brother Pike or Brother Roberts or Brother Terrell, or you can give it over here to the Baptist preacher or the Methodist preacher, or you can give it to Brother Billy Graham, or you can give it to the Pope. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not right with God, you're going to die and go to hell. The Bible said the offering of the wicked is an abomination in the sight of God. It doesn't matter what you give. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, I pray every night. I curse a little bit and drink a little bit, but I pray every night. Are you listening? I pray every night. Brother, I'll tell you what, you can pray in the first church, you can pray in the second church. You can pray in the church or out of the church, it doesn't matter. But the Bible said the prayer of the wicked is the abomination in the sight of God. It doesn't matter how much you pray. If you don't live godly, your prayers are abomination in the sight of God. Now then somebody, you know, they say, well, Brother Pike, you've got to look at it like this, that God loves everybody. I'll tell you what, if you'll show me in the Bible where God loves everybody, I'll take a different text and start all over tonight. If you'll show me in the Bible where God loves everybody, the Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible said, God said, I will pursue the wicked. I will pursue the wicked until they perish from over the face of the earth. He said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, he said. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, the Bible said. Can you then say God loves everybody? No, brother. No. David said, I hate the wicked and evil with a perfect hatred. God said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from over the face of the earth. Can't you just imagine me coming down the street with a shotgun and I say, I love you, my dear brother. I love you, I love you, I love you. And all the time I'm trying to get a shot at you. Are you listening? Can't you just imagine God saying that he loves the wicked and all the time he's about to tear them to pieces? No, he doesn't love the wicked, my brother, sister. He doesn't love the wicked. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. The Bible says that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But I want you to know he's angry with the wicked every day. And he's going to pursue the wicked till they perish from over the face of the earth. All these people that's doing these evil things, that's doing these worldly things, that's doing these ungodly things. The Bible speaks of that. It said you're doing these ungodly things. But you think that I'm altogether such a one as you are. But one day you're going to get the shock of your life, God said. I'm going to meet you face to face as a bear that's been robbed of a cubs. See, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. You're doing these wicked, evil things, God said. And you think that I'm going to make allowance for you to go to heaven. But God isn't going to do it. But God isn't going to do it. But God isn't going to do it. Why is the hospitals filling up, brother, sister? Why is the insane asylums filling up? Why is the wrecks on the highway increasing? Why is it the storms, the tornadoes, the problems, the diseases? Why is all of these oppressions? Why is all of the problems in the land increasing more and more and more? It's because the wicked are increasing. As knowledge of God increases, God requires the more. As you do less, the devils get stronger. God didn't make the earth for the wicked. God didn't make the earth for the wicked. God isn't going to let you continue your frolic. God isn't going to let you continue your clubs. Continue the things that you're doing. God is going to let you continue your religious practices and still go out into the world and do the things of the world. God is going to let that go on. God's going to bring it to an end, my brother. Because he made this earth to be inhabited, but he made it to be inhabited by the righteous people. He made it to be inhabited by the godly people. He made it to be inhabited by people that love Jesus Christ, that want to grow in the grace of God, and that want to grow in the knowledge of God. You know, a lot of people love to grow in the grace of God, but they don't care nothing about growing in the knowledge of God. The Bible tells us to grow in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that right, Brother Tony? Praise God. God said, grow in the knowledge of God. He wants us to grow in the knowledge of God. We need to take a little time to be holy, folks. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. How in the world are we going to grow in the knowledge of God if we spend all of our time out here in worldly things? If all of our interest is out here in the world, how are we going to have time to study the Word of God or to discuss the Word of God? I say, Brother Pike, you're just getting all beside yourself. Well, Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself from God. Glory to God, this thing wasn't done in a corner. If I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. I get excited and I can't help because I get excited. You go down to the ball game, some of you, and you get excited because that's where your heart is. And glory to God, my heart's in heaven and my heart's in Christ. And when I think about these things and I talk about these things, I get excited. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sound like some other folks are getting excited too. Praise God. I tell you, last night some folks really did get excited. That's why I'm so hoarse tonight. We all got excited. How do you love Jesus? Let me see your hand. Praise God. You know, I really believe there are some folks in Macon, Georgia that love Jesus. I keep preaching and preaching, waiting for them to bounce back, and it just swallowed down and swallowed down and swallowed down. Praise God. There must be some folks down here that really love Jesus. Either they're so shocked at what I'm saying that they can't speak, or either they love the Lord Jesus because they're going right along with me. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe there's some folks here that loves Jesus Christ. Amen. And so then Jesus said, walk in the light. You know, truthfully, from my heart, I'm telling you the truth, folks. Every night that I preached here, every night, the people have received it. Every night. There hasn't been one night that I preached here, but what the people haven't received, the wonderful things of God. Did you know that? I mean, they received it with a good spirit. Hallelujah. So then, that means God is wanting to bless the people in this area. That means God's wanting to do something in this area. I believe that. I believe that you're in for a blessing. I really believe that. I believe some of you really want to know the truth tonight. You know, the Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You know, it's wonderful to receive the gospel. If God sends a minister into a country and you receive that minister, you receive God. The Bible said if you receive him that God sendeth, then you receive God. Isn't that right? And if you receive that, you receive the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So then I believe God's going to do something good in this country. I really do. I believe God's going to do something good in this country. Hallelujah. And so then Jesus said here, he said, walk in the light. At the evening time, brother, sister, the Bible said there was a cry. And this cry went out. And when this cry went out, all of them was asleep. Now listen, we're going to come to a close in just a few minutes. I've been going a long time, but listen. At the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. All of them was asleep. Are you listening? All of them was asleep. The Bible said all of them was asleep. The wise virgins was asleep. The foolish virgins was asleep. But about that time a midnight cry come. A voice began to cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And they heard the cry. And the Bible said they begin to rally. They begin to shake themselves. And the virgins begin to wake up. All of them begin to wake up. But all of a sudden, some of them woke up and realized they were in total darkness. You know, I'm glad of one thing. Even though the darkness has swept over the church, and even though the people in the church has actually pressed the very life, so to speak, out of the saints of God. They've actually put them in an ecclesiastical bond to where they can't hardly speak or testify. But in spite of all of it, there's people in the church today that still has the oil of God. They still have the Holy Spirit. They may be asleep, but they still got the Holy Spirit. And brother, they're going to hear the midnight cry. And when they wake up, they're going to light their lamps. And there's going to be some light in the land. Hallelujah. Some of them's going to hear. Glory to God. The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. There's some of them that went to sleep, but they still got the oil. And when they wake up and they start moving around, glory to God, and they start feeling that quickening, and they start feeling that Holy Ghost, and they start feeling the blessings of God. Somebody's going to scream out and holler out and shout out, and somebody go say, by God, I thought he was gone, but he's still there. I thought he was gone, he's still there. Hallelujah. And they're going to throw away everything in the world, and they're going to turn your back on everything of the world, and the devil's going to be confounded, and they're going to light their little candles like Gideon did, and the devils is going to begin to fight one another. The red devils is going to begin to fight the blue devils. You hear me? And the lions is going to fight the cubs. Amen. And the cubs is going to fight the dogs. And it's going to be one big fight. And glory to God, the sons and daughters of God are going to stand back with their light. And they're going to be so exceedingly bright that the devils and demons of darkness can't even get next to them. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. Ooh, that makes me feel good. I'm wondering who's getting the best out of this, me or you. Praise God, I come here to make you feel good, and you're making me feel good. Hallelujah. Let's stand together, can we? Ooh, I feel good. Hallelujah. You know, that reminds me of that brother that comes over from the islands, comes over in Jamaica, and he sings that song, I feel good, good, good. I feel good. When he comes over to, you know, to preach, all the little children start singing, I feel good, good, good. But you know, he sings another song too. And the title of it is Last Train. Last Train. If you miss this train, there may never be another one. Last Train. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Don't you feel Jesus? Folks, slip your hands up and love Jesus. I feel faith in this place tonight. I'm telling you the truth. I feel faith in this place tonight. I do. Glory to God. I feel the resurrection and the life here. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus tonight. While they're playing on those instruments there, let's just lift our hearts and lives up to Jesus tonight. And let's tell him we love him tonight. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. Are your hands holy tonight, friend? The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them hands are holy tonight. Don't you let the devil tell you them hands ain't holy. Jesus made them hands holy. If thou canst believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can lift up holy hands tonight. Do you believe on the Son of God tonight? Do you believe on the Son of God tonight? Lift up them holy hands tonight if you believe on the Son of God. Hallelujah. If you believe on the Son of God, lift them hands up tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? I said, can you say hallelujah? Glory to God, hallelujah. Let's just love him for a few minutes. Let's just praise him for a few minutes. Hallelujah. While they're praising God tonight, if you're out there tonight and you need something from God, the altars are open again tonight. They were open last night. They're open again tonight. If you feel that Holy Spirit tonight, then brother, let God do something for you. If you awaken at that midnight cry and you feel that all on the inside, if you feel the moving of that great Spirit on the inside, then don't quench the Spirit. The Bible said, don't quench the Spirit. If you feel the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't have to get emotional. Jesus never got emotional. I'll tell you what, when Jesus planted the whip and Jesus turned over the tables and Jesus popped the whip and Jesus run them out of the money, out of the temple, he was excited. He was emotional. Jesus got emotional many times. Did you know that? Jesus got emotional because he had something to be emotional over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he cried with a loud voice. You know, the Bible said to lift up your voice like a trumpet. Did you know that's loud? The Bible not only says praise God, but it said praise him with a loud voice. Hallelujah. Cry aloud unto the Lord. Hallelujah. make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God is the Spirit. He inhabits the praise of His people. And brother, when you praise God, the Holy Spirit comes down and something takes place. While they're praying tonight, I want you to step out and come to this altar tonight. There's folks that need to be in this altar tonight. Now, folks, I feel it tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I can tell by the Spirit of God that there's people that need to be in this altar tonight. I want you to come to this altar tonight. You say, Brother Pike, what are you going to get out of the altar? Glory to God, you'll be on the altars. You'll be on the altars. You'll be on the altars. And when you get close to the altar, you get closer to God. How do you get closer to God by coming to the altar, Brother Pike? Because you begin to believe. You begin to believe. I know that all you've got to do is call upon the name of Jesus. But God works through faith. And we've been trained to come to the altar. And brother, we need to get back to coming to the altar. Because it inspires our faith. It inspires people. Hallelujah. When people came to the altar, they got something. When people prayed around the altar, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And them kind of people lived a holy life. Glory to God, we need some emotional people. We need some people that feel God. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love Jesus tonight. I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? If you love Jesus, tell Him you love Him. Let the redeemed say so tonight. Let the redeemed praise Him. The Bible said that praise is becoming to the upright. Praise the Lord tonight. God is the Spirit. God inhabits the praise of His people. My brother, sister, tonight, if you want to get healed in your body, praise God. If you want to get healed in your body, praise God. The saints of old did not have sickness. They were healed in their bodies because they were a little emotional and they did praise God. And tonight, if you'll get a little emotional, if you'll let that Holy Ghost get in your physical being, if you'll let that Holy Ghost get in your spirit, if you'll let that Holy Ghost get in your mind, if you'll let that Holy Ghost get in your heart tonight, I'll guarantee you sickness won't stay in that body. Sickness won't stay in that body. If you'll fellowship God, if you'll fellowship light, I'll guarantee you devils and darkness will get out of your room. It'll get out of your heart. It'll get out of your life. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I feel better and better. I feel better and better. Hallelujah. I wish I had 10 lifetimes. If I had 10 lives, I'd give everyone to God and ask God for 10 more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight. You love Jesus tonight. Do you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. While the Holy Ghost is moving tonight, if you want to be prayed for, I want you to come right around here. Come up on this ramp right around here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Carnes, come stand right along here so they don't go out this way, right here. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. You're looking better and better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you feel good? Huh? Hallelujah. Don't you feel good? Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. For about 3 years, I believe it is, this brother's been pressed down and been in the house and ain't even hardly been outside. But he come over here and God's got in his heart and God's got his life. And he said he's feeling better. And here he is over here again tonight. Here he is over here again tonight. Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus tonight. You ministers, come up here and help me pray. You ministers, come up here and help me pray. Come on, ministers, help me pray. Glory to God, it's your responsibility, just like it's my responsibility. Help me to pray tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't help me pray tonight, God's going to hold you responsible for it. You told me that you were the minister of God, and you ought to be here tonight, holding up our hands and working with us. The Bible teaches that if you're a son of God, you ought to be about your Father's business. You ought to be about your Father's business. Come on, saints of God, let's love Jesus. Let's love Jesus. Can you love Jesus tonight?
Hallelujah. Let's love Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Son of God, in the name of the Son of God, all glory to the Lamb of God, in Jesus' name, moved by your Spirit, Father, heal tonight. Let this glory of God be here. Let the power of God be here tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus tonight, Father, loose this body. Let oxygen come into this brain. Let it come into these lungs tonight. Lord, I'm under a Messiah. Encourage his faith. Lift it up, Father. Lift it up, Father. Add years to this life. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God tonight. Praise God tonight. Praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you want to give Jesus glory tonight? Don't you want to praise God tonight? Give the Lord glory and praise and honor tonight. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Touch these bodies tonight. May the Spirit of God be upon them. Heal tonight. Oh, deliver tonight, Jesus. Uram under a Messiah. Glory to God, move tonight. Break every yoke. I feel deliverance, Father. Hallelujah. Brother, I feel deliverance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you feel deliverance, praise the Lord. If you feel deliverance, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Jesus' name tonight, oh, among the Messiah, heal, Father, deliver, Father, heal. I feel you doing it. I feel you doing it in Jesus' name tonight. Heal, make whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal tonight by the power of God. Heal in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, you've healed this body. You've healed this body. You've healed this body. You've healed this body. Encourage this faith, Father. You've healed this body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, touch this body tonight. Break every yoke tonight. Deliver tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I feel the blessings of God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal. Oh, deliver. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal, deliver, save, and forgive. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, moved by your Spirit. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus, moved by your Spirit. Break the yoke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel your Spirit. Jesus' name, Father. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. The name of Jesus, Father. He'll break the yoke tonight. Move by thy Spirit. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Heal the body tonight. Move by your power. Move by your Spirit tonight. Dear God, do something in this body tonight. I feel her faith, Father. I feel her faith, Father. Jesus' name tonight, Father. Heal, save, and deliver. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name tonight. In the name of the Son of God. Messiah. Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel that deliverance. Glory to God, I feel that deliverance. Heal. Oh, I feel that deliverance. Touch this little one. Jesus' name, Father. I feel that deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel that deliverance. Father, in Jesus' name tonight. Glory. Somebody love Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch this little one tonight. Hallelujah.
Power in the latter.
Love Jesus tonight. Hallelujah.
Power.
Father, the name of Jesus tonight. By the power of God, by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Can you clap your hands for Jesus again? Can you clap your hands for Jesus again? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. One of these days the translation is going to take place. One of these days God's going to get us happy and take us on home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Power in that light.
Hallelujah. Can you love him tonight? Can you love him tonight? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.